Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Reminder, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today, it is a Fan Club Friday. Dana Wright from KNBZ going to join us in studio. We going beers today? Cocktails? What are we doing?
Cocktails.
Weather on the way, so I don't know. I didn't know if we had a theme today.
Cocktails. No okay. Theme. Cocktails. I know that you are you like Dr. Pepper.
Over
the holiday season, my wife had we bought some frozen cherries and stuff because she wanted to have almost like a dirty Shirley, but like a dirty Dr. Pepper cocktail with cherry vodka and Dr. Pepper and grenadine and some other stuff.
Okay. So that's what we're having. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
That's
right. Never had that before.
In the break, Alex and I were joking because our boss sent an email, like most bosses do, and Spec said, "Hey, make sure you give yourself options to get into work safely on Monday." And Alex and I were joking a little bit my option is to drive my car. I don't really have any other option in how to get to work. And Alex was like, maybe he'll helicopter in. And then I joked about getting a snowmobile, to which I assumed that is an unavailable item in Kansas City, Missouri. There is one listed in the metro area in Overland Park.
Oh, perfect.
On Facebook Marketplace.
I'll rent it.
You can pick up this 2012 Polaris. Says it's got some aftermarket accessories. It looks pretty badass. I'm not going to lie.
How much we talk?
You'd look pretty sweet.
What does this thing run? Like $3,000?
Riding into work.
What does that run? Is it
$6,400?
Oh.
Is that how much the going rate is for a nice snowmobile?
Could you imagine taking that in? Like, obviously, it's not legal to do that, but just even taking that out.
Oh, it comes with the trailer. It comes with the snowmobile trailer. That's part of it.
That's why it's $6,400.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe a little bit less if you don't want the trailer. I don't know. And the cover, you know. Got to make sure it's covered. If you rode into work on Monday on a snowmobile, it'd be my favorite day in the show's history.
Would they pull me over?
I don't know.
If I, like
if you passed a cop on the highway on the snowmobile, I mean, probably.
Or they just let you go, because screw it.
We got other accidents to deal with? This guy's obviously prepared because he's in a snowmobile?
I'm not sure. Let's ask Briscoe about this. Briscoe, Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for Chiefs.si, of course. Appreciate him also filling in for a couple days when Cody and I were out. He is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Thinking of insurance, I don't know if they'll like you driving in on a snowblower or a snowmobile. I don't know if how that'll work as well. Briscoe, have you ever been on a snowmobile?
No, I haven't, but I got two words for you, fellas. Business expense.
Yeah. Your boss he said get in safely.
Get here. He said, I'm going to go ahead and read between the lines. I heard him say, get here no matter what,
that's right.
Whatever the cost, the money is no object, be here on Monday. And so I hear you guys saying, yep, boss signed off on a snowmobile, and I feel like Cody and Gold deserves one as a show. Get that thing wrapped, get the decals on there. Yeah. Get the two, baby.
Perfect. Dude, getting it wrapped would be incredible.
Yeah.
First off, the idea of me putting in the expense system, a $6,400 snowmobile, Cody, whoa, what is this expense you're trying to get approved through the company for $6,400? I'm like, it's the station snowmobile. It belongs to the,
there's actually a clause. It's set up in the system on the expense. You put that in, it automatically terminates your employment, actually, is what it does.
Fair.
Yeah.
It'd be worth trying, though. If I was like, God, why can't this job, Briscoe, would be so much more fun if I were just like unfairly rich, just like had hundreds of millions of dollars, and you could do stuff like that, like trying to see if you could expense a snowmobile.
This is the secret, man. They don't want you to know this. Everything's more fun if you're filthy rich. You can do everything bigger, better, with more free time or more, eventful trips or whatever. Everything's more fun with a bunch of money. They say money can't buy happiness. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think it might be. Also, what might buy happiness is the continuation of getting a better roster if you're the Chiefs. Woo! Jalen Watson's going to practice today, and they are still two and a day or two away from even having to play a football game in Kansas City. So I am to assume that Jalen Watson has a pretty good chance of being available by the divisional round game, right?
Sounds like it to me. I was just as surprised as anybody this morning to see that news, because Andy Reid said on Monday that it would be like a pretty big stretch for Watson to return at any point. I really interpreted that, and maybe Andy just hadn't like gotten the new doctor report. Maybe he was lying, which he's allowed to do and does frequently at press conferences. But I really took that as like, yeah, you know, if everything goes well, maybe he could be back out there kind of doing the Jerick McKinnon thing of like, we'll try to get him up to speed right before the Super Bowl. Maybe we get him out there. But I thought, you know, at that point, there's too much, as much as I've said, I'm not worried about rust for the guys who are resting. There's too much rust on a player who missed 10, 12 weeks or whatever it would end up being and was doing it off an ankle injury that he has to get his cardio back and all of that. So even, you know, seeing a clip of him out there running around or whatever, I really did not expect him to end up back in a meaningful role, like in a full-time, you're back to being the number two corner role. I just thought they were going to run out of time there. And it seems now like he's probably going to be starting in the divisional round. Plenty of time to ramp up and practice if he is, in fact, starting today. I think it's an enormous, enormous deal that I would have been talking about much more if I thought there was any chance of it actually happening the way that it has.
Yeah, it was very quiet. Yeah, I mean, nobody officially ruled him out, but it was just quiet. We all just kind of assumed. You mentioned divisional round game. I understand the timeline. It definitely is in play. Like, how confident are you that that happens? Because I still wonder if we don't get to a point where he's pretty limited for that game and it's more AFC title game if they get there.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he only gets a little bit of a workload there, being his first, you know, actual game back. I think they're going to try really hard to get him on the field for that game. It wouldn't surprise me, really, if he doesn't even start, or certainly if he starts and then only gets a smaller workload. It would make a ton of sense. Remember that last preseason game this year, he was out there into the fourth quarter, and he was getting dunked on.
Yeah.
And then he showed up in week one and was playing lockdown corner. So he may need to get a few of those hot reps to begin to feel that out. You obviously can't have him out there costing you a playoff game, and maybe he'll come back smoother than I'm giving him credit for. I just keep thinking back to his turnaround after a really, really difficult preseason game and then an incredible start to the regular season. So I am definitely not like locking him in at 100% health right now. I do think all of this still bears watching. Again, the practice window is a 21-day thing that's just now opening up, so I think they're expecting to have him active before that, back on the active roster. But I'm not going to assume that he immediately gets 100% of the snaps in the divisional round. It sounds like there's a chance. I'm willing to feel this one out, because this is already better news than I thought they'd get on him.
I think we've probably forgotten it a little bit because Aminihue covered some of it. The offense started playing better, so we just kind of forgot about it. But there was like a month straight when the secondary was the single biggest concern on this team.
Yep.
They were getting picked on when Jalen Watson went down. They had one of the league's worst pass defenses during that stretch, seemingly, as maybe a direct result of him being gone. Like, it's easy to forget, right? But it was a huge absence when he was gone.
Enormous. We were having the conversation at the time, and I still could make an argument for either side, I think. We were having the discussion at the time of what would be better. Like, if you could just magic wand cure one injury here, you either get Rashee Rice or Jalen Watson back. I remember tweeting that out and getting pretty close to 50-50 in terms of the responses, and I still kind of vacillate between the two, because I think, again, there's a good argument on both sides. But what we've seen in these last couple of weeks, they have gone to more Joshua Williams. Chris Roland Wallace, I think, may be playing better in the slot right now than Shamari Connor had been for at least some of those worst chunks of the season. Obviously, Connor out with a concussion and he should be back now, but the group coming together and kind of finding a little bit of an opportunity to gel, I think Spags figuring out maybe some situational ways to use guys, and to your point, Aminihue is huge. But they've figured out ways to patch things up. That's really good. That's really valuable. But if Jalen Watson is back out there, if he looks like himself, if he's playing pretty much his usual workload, at least by the championship game, presuming they get there, which we will do, that is an enormous, enormous boost, because suddenly the blitzes don't have to be as frequent, which means they can be more exotic and a little more pick your poison type of stuff. That the pass rush does have more time to get home, which was one of the reasons they were successful even without Chris Jones against the Steelers. So it's just a snowballing thing of great news, because when we were talking about this back in week six or whatever it was kind of losing a Jenga block that brought a lot of the defense back down. Now they've rebuilt a lot of that tower, and Watson's coming back. I don't want to undersell it. I think it's massive.
Josh Briscoe joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. He's our Chiefs contributor for Chiefs on SI. I know 2 weeks ago or so when we talked to you last, we were discussing the left tackle position, and at that point, I think we were both on the same page of, hey, I want to see G.J. Humphreys get one more game, that they still probably are at their best when he's the left tackle and Joe Tooney's left guard. I said yesterday, I don't know how anybody can feel that's the case still based off of what Tooney's looked like, and also we still haven't seen a full game from D.J. Humphreys, and the playoffs are right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of two minds on it. The one that I can definitely still pick up is that I do still absolutely believe that the best offensive line is D.J. Humphreys at left tackle, Joe Tooney at left guard.
Right.
Which is partially that you'll replace a fine backup guard, although PFF has hated Mike Caliendo in the last 3 weeks. You can always, you can use that for as much or as little as you want, I guess. But they've hated him. Joe Tooney's the best guard in football. So, that is one downgrade. And I think Joe Tooney has been good, and he has been stable at left tackle, which is like a huge compliment for a guard, and it's something the Chiefs have not gotten from that tackle position. But I do think that DJ Humphreys, who I'd like to see play on Sunday, I think he's one of the only guys who I think should play on Sunday, who should also potentially play in the playoffs. I'd like to see Humphreys out there to get moving a little bit, but I still think that the Humphreys-Tooney guard tackle combo is the highest ceiling and highest floor group. But it's incredible to know that if DJ Humphreys can't go or doesn't look very good, that you have an actual option. I believe they can win a Super Bowl with Joe Tooney at left tackle. I think the best case scenario is Humphreys, Tooney, tackle, guard, but I think they can do it with Tooney, Caliendo, and I'm not sure they could have done it with Morris and Tooney, and certainly not with Suamataia and Tooney.
Based on the way that they're talking about it, I feel like the Chiefs must feel the same way, right? It seems pretty clear they want to see if Humphreys can do it still.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think we know that even by the order of operations here, that Tooney moving to tackle was such a desperation type of heave. I think it was plan D, ultimately, kind of considering all the guys they wanted to take over that role. An interesting thing, this was as heard on Monday's edition of Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. I was talking to Ryan Tracy of RGR Football, and he has a background in the physiological side of all of it as from a training perspective. Plus, he knows football better than almost anybody else. He knows the Chiefs better than, so I say all that to say that I really, really trust his opinion in a way that I may maybe only extend to 5 or 10 people in the space. And he said he actually doesn't even really care if Humphreys plays on Sunday, because that hamstring issue is a soft tissue injury, and that more time there might actually be the best possible thing to extend that break. So I'll be really curious to see if the Chiefs want to see him get a little bit of work, a lot of work, or if Humphreys practices this whole week and he doesn't play on Sunday. I think that's your answer all over again, that the Chiefs are actually just holding him out because they want him to play tackle. But a few different paths of that over these next couple of days would not surprise me.
What about on Sunday just against the Broncos? We know the Chiefs don't have anything to play for seating-wise or anything. The Broncos have everything to play for. Carson Wentz, I mean, do you agree that if he goes out there and plays well, that he could end up being a starting quarterback, or at least in a competition next year for some team based off of what we saw in the NFL this year?
Yeah, I kind of do. I think, as you kind of put there, it's like starting with an asterisk. Like, I think that's probably his path at this point. If you're a Raiders team that wants to draft somebody and have a stabilizing force, you try to sell Carson Wentz. No, the Raiders would not be the team to do this, at least not with their current staff. But you try to sell Carson Wentz on the Sam Darnold position, the Baker Mayfield reclamation. I think those little cycles of former high picks, Jared Goff almost to a different level, really, but those cycles of former high picks exiting, particularly in free agency, finding a home for themselves, performing well, and then getting another contract off the back of that, I think that's a real path that teams are probably a little more open to, where retread isn't such a pejorative as it often is. So I think if you're going to have Wentz and some younger quarterback, and maybe it's not somebody selected 1, 2, or 3 overall, but maybe it's one of those second round guys, or even again, like what the plan was in New England with Drake May and Jacoby Brissett, and what it would have been in Minnesota if J.J. McCarthy had stayed healthy. I think there's a real chance that he does that. I think he could be in line to do that anyway, but But going out and having like a real game on Sunday, I think could absolutely impact his market, which is crazy because this game means nothing to the rest of the team. But it means a lot to a lot of guys individually.
Pacheco look okay to you? Like, I mean, other than the rib injury, but he just doesn't look like the same Isaiah Pacheco yet.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is him getting back to himself, and I wonder how much of that is us getting more acclimated to the offense without him. I think it's been nice to see Kareem Hunt's vision and be able to see him maximize, well, not always maximize what's there, but get enough of what's there and typically hit the right hole. It makes Pacheco seem like more of a contrast in a lot of ways, but it would also not surprise me if, you know, he is still working back from the fact that he broke his ankle and is working back in a way that maybe getting his feet under him is still a little bit of a process. I think as it's good for everybody, it's certainly good for every running back. Getting him a long break off the ribs and kind of a little, I don't know, an interlude in his recovery. He had to recover, get back, play some games, and then get another time off and then come back and play again. I think it's as good of a setup as you could ask for him. But no, I'm kind of with you, and I think maybe the shine is coming off that apple a little bit because I think Kareem Hunt, in a lot of ways, has been this team's best running back this year.
All right, I'm going to have you. We did this earlier, so I want you to rank them. I'm going to give you four target options for the Chiefs, and you tell me in order of importance, 1 through 4, where they rank as the most important target guys for the Chiefs in the postseason, not where they rank so far this year. Kelce, Worthy, Hopkins, and Hollywood.
Oh, man, what a blessing that that's a terribly difficult question.
It is, and like we didn't even get to like 5 or 6, which includes like Noah Gray or Juju Smith-Schuster, because those are the four. But
no, you're right. Those are the four. I think, after having been very, I would have probably been opposed to this in season, but I might put Worthy at 4. I think his growth has been out of necessity a lot, but he's going to get his shots, but it doesn't need to be a lot of targets necessarily.
He's had a lot of targets lately.
Yeah, no, and that's been a very promising thing, but if I'm thinking about how they're going to get used and how they should get used going into the playoffs, I might go DeAndre Hopkins 4, and like he's just going to get...
I had him 4.
He's going to have 4 chain moving catches and a touchdown every week. And it's like, all right, yeah, no, he's DeAndre Hopkins, but he'll have a few. Let's do that then. Let's go Hopkins, Worthy, Hollywood, Kelce.
I like that we all had Kelce. That's the funniest thing in the stabilizing
factor. It's a playoff time.
We all had Kelce.
Yeah, it honestly felt bad saying it out loud because I think the regular season order, or if you were starting a new season with those four guys, would be very different. But yeah, you're going to give me Travis Kelce fresh off a month of rest in the playoffs. Yeah, he's going to get 10 targets a game. I mean, absolutely. Why wouldn't he? Even though there are like you can happily give out 35 targets to that group, which is awesome because so much of this season was like, all right, so how many times do we need to throw the ball to Justin Watson?
Do you load up from the grocery store for the weekend storms, or what's the plan for you?
I haven't yet. I had a thing on Saturday. I'll just tell you what it was, and I'm not going to like dox them. But we had gotten invited to a murder mystery party on Saturday, and I'm afraid now that it's more of like a Mario Kart simulator. It's like, hey, either go home or get some banana peels for the road. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's happening now. I think we're relatively well stocked. We've got a couple of leftovers that'll get us through a couple more days here, and then I think it's just frozen pizzas until the road's clear. And if that's not by Monday, I'll buy a snowmobile. I'm going to bill it to spec, and I'm going to get there for the show on Monday night.
He said, "Get here by any means necessary." You know,
maybe this is the time I get a helicopter. I like that idea still too.
There you go, Joshua Briscoe joining us as he does each
does
and every
Joe
Friday.
Joe Burrow still have the Batmobile? I need
that's,
it.
That's true. It's not in yet, though. Briscoe, it's not in yet.
He's got a year.
Yeah, it's on back order or on order or something. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I won't be in on Monday.
Yeah, there you go. Check out his work on ChiefsOnSI.com. Yeah, you saw that there are two places, as you said, that you can. There's one. I was trying to see if you could rent one. It's $400 a day.
$400 for the day, huh? That's better than $6,400 total. Can you rent one in Kansas City?
I don't think so.
It doesn't even. I only saw one on Facebook Marketplace in the Kansas City area. There was one listed in St. Joe, but I'm not going up to St. Joe to get a snowmobile. That's crazy.
You can ride it back.
That would take you forever. That would take you forever to go up there, rent, and get it all the way back to your place.
And that's to buy it. I still got to buy that one. Although it's a lot cheaper.
Oh, that's not the that's
no,
not
that's
rental.
To buy.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
That's,
never mind.
That's one to purchase.
I thought I was.
That again requires me to purchase a snowmobile, which again, but that one's only $2,100. It looks way less cool. I'm just gonna say,
it looks that would make sense.
So you're gonna hook up. So imagine this: Cody's gonna go hook up the trailer. He's gonna go buy the snowmobile in St. Joe. Hook up a trailer to his rental car because he doesn't have his normal car still.
So, I don't get my normal car back for like another week.
I don't know if you can hook up a trailer to your rental car that you have.
I don't think so.
No way.
I don't think
that would be the most hilarious looking thing.
The back end of your car is going to be dragging on the ground.
It would work.
I think that would be somehow breaking the terms and agreements.
I actually don't think it would work.
He mentioned Saturday. I currently have a dinner reservation for my wife for her 40th birthday, right, which is next week.
Okay.
So I made a reservation and a nice rest. We like to go have a nice meal.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night. Am I? I need to move
that. Cancel that.
You think I got to cancel it? We got an overnight babysitter, man.
On the flip side.
Overnight babysitter for a restaurant?
On the flip side.
Those are tough to come by.
Right, but then how are your kids getting home Sunday?
I'll pick them up.
You sure?
And the snowmobile.
I got two overnight babysitters.
It's a snowmobile, remember?
The snowmobile. I'll pick them up on the snowmobile.
I feel like on the flip side, if you don't cancel it and you go, it's even better. You went out of your way. I'm driving through a snowstorm, mm-hmm, you know?
Someone says, offer that guy $500 for that snowmobile. You know, he's got an insane show. You know he's been trying to get rid of that thing.
This
for
is
two
his
or three
weekend.
Years.
This is his time right now. Today's the day.
This is his first moment ever to maybe get rid of that thing. Someone says, I have to go to St. Joe this evening. I can grab it for you.
Pick it up on the way home.
Thanks, man. So you think cancel it? You think just cancel the dinner?
Here's why I think you need to do it. It's not so much that Saturday, because the ice isn't supposed to start and mix until Saturday early evening, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking more about the fact that your kids are staying somewhere else that night. How are you getting them the next day? That's the problem.
The place that they're staying is close to my house.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's
like a friend or family member or what?
Yeah. Okay. It's my in-laws.
Okay. Well, then if they get stuck there, they get stuck there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what's worst case scenario?
How far is the restaurant from your house?
Like, 15,
is it the restaurant
minutes.
On the plaza or something?
It's a Crossroads.
Okay. You might be able to. How early is the dinner reservation?
7:15.
Right in the middle of this. Right in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up to you, man. That's up to you.
It might be a hell of a ride home.
Can you reschedule, like, for even if it's the week after your wife's actual birthday?
The week after is booked. I'm afraid.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
I think you should go.
And it's her, you know, it's her 40th, so I can't be like, you know, an unmovable plans the following weekend.
Gotcha.
I think
Drew thinks
go.
I should go. You think I should cancel?
I think, wait to see what happens tonight with the weather forecast.
Someone says, pack them just a bag for the week in case, you know? They're probably not going to have school on Monday. Let's face reality.
Yeah, someone's right. The snow's not going to start till later. I'm saying, though, but does he want to be driving in the ice? And then it's more about the kids part of it. Like, how's his kids get home?
I mean, I'll just tell you, where they are, it'll be fine. Okay. Like, if it takes me a little longer in the day to get to them.
Then you know the answer.
No one's going to complain.
Then you know the answer. Go to dinner.
All right. I'll be the only person out.
It'll be probably a pretty empty night. Saturday night.
That's the other part. Should I be making these people? I've worked at a restaurant when it's like snow and no one's there. It kind of sucks.
Says, you guys work remote all the time. Can you not set your stuff up and do your show Monday from your house? It's great. That's a great point.
I got to be here.
Drew has no option.
Drew has to be here either way. Yeah.
Unless he's built a robot that can handle his job remotely.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that smart.
And if you did that, you're essentially just getting yourself out of the job.
The problem is only one of us. The only one of us would be able to do that anyway.
Someone says they're going to make a reservation at 7 o'clock at the same restaurant. You don't know what restaurant I'm going to. I didn't say the restaurant. I just said the area in which it was located.
Let's all go. Yeah.
We're all going together. You're coming out too?
That's right.
Would you feel bad if you were the only person in there? Where as soon as you walk in, everybody's like, this guy.
Yes, I would feel terrible.
Are you worried they're going to close early?
I'm not worried about that, but I've worked at a restaurant where like snow came
that
in.
Restaurant might close early.
And like we had like two reservations, and I'm like, I'm not even sure what you people are doing here.
You should give them a phone call.
But it would not surprise me at all if some places close like it's 5 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, I gotta call. I gotta call them later and see what their plan is.
Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Two options you guys pick. One involves someone who vanished 52 years ago. The other one involves someone that had a bad driving lesson. Which one would you prefer?
Driving lesson.
Okay. This one,
so you know, driving weather.
Let's go to Pennsylvania for this one. So, did either of you guys take like driver's ed, or did you just learn on your own? I just learned on my own with my parents.
Same.
You did driver's ed?
I think I in Indiana you have to.
Okay. Makes so
parents and siblings.
We went to the parking lot. You know, initially like parking lot down the street, learned how to park there, and just started driving from there. I drove with my dad, and that's how I learned. Anyway, this was an actual driving lesson. Ended in a crash in Pennsylvania. An SUV was around this pavilion. There's a photo of it as well. Fortunately, nobody was hurt or anything. One of the tables of the pavilion was flipped, and the pole there right by the pavilion was toppled over.
Oh, gosh.
The driver stayed on the scene, and traffic citation was issued. Would you be scarred for life if you were 16 and your first driving lesson, you ended up doing what this person did, which is like, basically it's like a pavilion at a park. They took the car up on the curb, and they knocked the post of the pavilion over.
So there's already these statistical studies that say that 16-year-olds want to drive way less than like we wanted to drive, right? Like, they don't want to get driver's license the way that we used to want to get driver's license as youth. Dude, I don't know if that person's ever getting behind a wheel again. On a pavilion, I knew one person in high school who, on their driver's test, put their car in a ditch. And, like, I imagine that was probably almost enough to not want to be behind the wheel. Like, on the driver's test to get their license, put the car in a ditch, which you can imagine you probably didn't get your license that day. For good reason. I don't know that I'd want to drive again. On a pavilion?
You said this was driver's ed, right?
Starting like a parking lot or something? Just put you on the street right away?
Yeah, it says driving lesson ends with pavilion crash at New Cumberland Park in Pennsylvania.
So, because if it's a driving test, obviously you don't have the person next to you who has the pedals as well. Like, you have a driver's ed. In driver's ed, if you're driving... Yeah,
this wasn't the actual test. Like, you know, you've had to do that, right? Where you drive with a person a block down the street. You ever do that?
I had to do a driver's test. I had to
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know.
Yeah, it takes 30 seconds.
Yeah, mine was like 10 minutes.
Mine was like, basically went around the block. Like, did you stop at a stop sign? Did you signal? And then, okay, we're good. Thank you.
Oh, it wasn't even. Mine was a little more complicated than that. They dinged me on points for not turning my wheels the proper way, for being parked on an incline.
I didn't have to parallel park or anything.
I didn't either. I escaped from having a parallel park.
I had to attempt the parallel park.
Yeah, I didn't have to do that in mine. Anyway.
But I wonder,
what'd you get on yours?
There was no... I passed. I don't know.
That's it? It wasn't as cool? Ours is like an out of 100.
No, in Kansas,
on the
Missouri
side, it was out of 100. I got 92.
Wow.
No. They're like, you're good. I'm like, okay. That was it.
That's it. Yeah.
And like, when I moved...
Was it a sled anyway? When I moved... Mind wheel. No freaking wonder. What's going on here?
That's how I feel about...
The corner?
That's how I feel about Missouri.
What the hell?
But in Texas, I didn't have to... I had to take the written test when I got a new license there when I lived there, but I didn't have to do a driver's test. When I moved to Idaho... When I was in Boise, I had to do a written test, but I didn't have to do a driving test.
Did you really? Anywhere that I've moved, I'm just given a
written
license.
Yeah. Really? In Missouri, it was written test. You had to pass a written.
The toughest one, honestly, was the one in Idaho. Because a lot of wildlife questions, like about how do you handle wildlife and stuff that I wasn't used to in Kansas.
Do you honk your horn at this moose? You're like, I don't know.
It's a lot of questions about that. That was the toughest part. I was like, because normally you're like, okay, use common sense. Like, you'll pass the driver's written test. There were a couple like, what happens if this, you know, this animal is, you know, like, how do you proceed forward? I'm like,
In Missouri, you had to take a test and be like, if you're driving 60 miles an hour on a highway, how many car lengths should there be between you and the car above you in order to maintain a safe distance? And then what do you do when you're braking and you begin to skid? It was all those things. The driving test was like 15 minutes, man. I mean, you had to like, peruse some roads. You had to pop on the highway.
I never realized that in some places, if you move, you have to I have never retaken. I've lived in like three, four different states. I have never had to retake a driver's test or a written test one time.
Depends on the state and also. So you got to make sure your license hadn't expired in the other state before you do it, too. Lastly, someone said, Cody, how did you pick the driving one over the missing person for 50 years? People are upset. They have to know. Well, maybe you'll find out next week.
We can do a second one later, you know?
Yeah. Somebody vanished 52 years ago.
Can we do it during fan club?
Sure.
Let's do one during fan club Friday. We can do it with Dana right in.
That works. That is the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Run Half Hour. Let's talk a little bit about the last regular season game for one particular player. Did we already see it?
Hey, football fans. It's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's next?
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, we're back, baby. Cody and Gold.
Short breaks today.
Alex Gold, Cody
Tapp. More of us.
Always happens first week after the new year. Always happens. Things will be back to normal next week. Always happens. More content, more time. Talk.
I am still waiting for my car back. I would like to be able to take it in its first test drive in the snow, right? We see how it handles a little bit.
That's right. You haven't had it in bad weather yet.
I got hit like the week before Thanksgiving.
Bad timing.
I then got my car into the shop on the 9th. Still do not have it.
And they're putting a whole new tailgate on the car.
I miss my Tiguan. I'd like it back. They are putting a whole new tailgate on, which was not the original plan. They were just going to fix the dent. And then they sent me a text yesterday, like, hey, so the new tailgate came in. We'll pop that thing on today. I was like, whoa, hey, rewind a little bit. What? Like, yeah, that other one. We tried to take that dent out. It didn't work. So we'll just put a new one on. You're like, okay. But look, it's on the other guy's insurance.
So you're not paying for the real car?
No. I am kind of sick of driving it. I want my car back.
I get that. I totally understand. I totally get that. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, though, because I know this is something a lot of Chiefs fans probably don't want to think about, but do you believe we already saw the last regular season game of Travis Kelce's career?
I think a lot of people think that.
We know he's not playing Sunday. That's a no-brainer. No reason for that.
If he sat out last year, why the hell would he play this one?
This year has not been the same, but he also hasn't been bad by any means. No. I mean, he's still going to finish, I think, top six in tight end yardage if at last check, depending on how this week goes.
I think it was Nagy who had said, like, he looks like Travis.
Yeah. There's times, I think, after the catch where he doesn't.
Yeah. Not quite as nimble.
You know, but there was a play against the Steelers where he did look actually, you know, like old Travis Kelce in a good way. Last year in the playoffs, we know he looked like Hall of Fame Travis Kelce again. I think that's going to happen as well. Do you think that was the last one? I still think the Super Bowl result matters here. I really believe it. We know the off-the-field opportunities. He signed a rework contract that, you know, essentially next year would be the easier year to just walk away contract-wise and not leave, what is it, $16 million on the table. But with more and more opportunities off the field, personal life stuff, everything like that, if they win the Super Bowl, I think we did see the last regular season game.
I do still think it might require that. He still has 1 year left on his contract after this. He has made it clear that he didn't want to go out not playing football at a high level. Not like I'm still a league average tight end, which he's better than a league average tight end. Still, you can say whatever you want about Travis Kelce. He's still way better than league average. Sure, maybe Brock Bowers has passed him or Sam Laporta. Maybe there's two, three tight ends you would take over him in the league. Maybe. And that's the end of the list. Absolutely.
Kelce's fifth, by the way, in yardage this year. And he's 5 yards from being fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guarantee you, whatever those four guys are, I wouldn't take all
McBride
four.
McBride and Bowers are the only guys that are significantly ahead of him. After that, Jonnu Smith is 5 yards in front of him. And then after Kelce, there's a 175-yard gap between the next guy.
Still
Hunter
took
Henry.
Trey McBride like 17 weeks to get a damn touchdown this year. And I know Kelce doesn't have a lot. Didn't take him 17 weeks. I think it's a pretty good chance. I think it's like I told you maybe 50-50 maybe a month ago. I think it's like 60-40 he retires. It's just starting to feel like it's going to go that way. I think so much of the off-the-field stuff that makes it so much easier to make this transition, seeing his brother successfully make this transition, seeing the opportunities, the beating you take on your body, you know, the personal life stuff that's growing, right? Maybe you want to have a family or, you know, and I mean, God knows your girlfriend is real busy. And you're going to stay busy, right? Between the podcast or ESPN or whoever comes calling. Travis Kelce's going to have a lot of things to do. I think we probably saw the last. I think it's more likely than not at this point. We've seen the last regular season game from Travis Kelce. And all we have left is these three postseason games.
I hope it's not the case. But I would definitely lean in the direction that if they win the Super Bowl, then this is it for Kelce. And the end of a Hall of Fame career. And it'll be very, very weird if that's the case to see. But I also think Noah Gray's emergence this year makes it a little bit easier for the organization and maybe even for Travis to stomach. Remember, they gave a contract extension to Noah Gray as well before the season. And he's been a piece of this offense, but he was a larger piece this year. Overall, going out with a three-peat, only team in NFL history, I'm sorry, to do that would be an unbelievable way to ride off in the sunset for a Hall of Fame career and what you're already the greatest tight end in NFL history.
Yeah, it stinks. Because I will be bummed when, like, let's say they win the Super Bowl. Let's just put it in the most positive terms. They win the Super Bowl, and at the end of the game, one of the things we got to talk about on Monday is that it? Is that it for Travis Kelce? Because the worst-case scenario is, like, they lose in an AFC title game, and I got to ask, is that it?
Yeah.
It's like
if they were to get bounced early, that's where I could actually see he comes back from.
Yeah. And he's like motivated because it is, I'll be honest, it'd be far too tempting if it were me. I would have had a Hall of Fame career as an all-time great tight end. I would have just won three consecutive Super Bowls to go home to my megastar girlfriend. Like, Gold, I'd walk. It sounds crazy because like, If you can keep putting up these numbers, why not go for four?
Right.
Can you not go out?
What,
I mean, you cannot.
$19 million next year. Isn't that what it is? Something like that.
And you know, like that's not nothing. But he can make $19 million in his other ventures at this point. Like, maybe not in a single year, but there's still millions and millions and millions of dollars coming in for Travis Kelce.
The day they extended Noah Gray, I remember doing that show. You know, I think it was that training camp?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we're like, does this mean they know something and all that? Like, he's been way more involved in the offense this year, too. And it makes you, if you're wondering, like, what that future looks like, nobody's replacing Travis Kelce, just like nobody replaced Tony Gonzalez. It took multiple Titans after to find the next great one, and unbelievably, they did. But there was the Brad Cottoms and Moyakis of the world that were in between there before they found Travis Kelce out of Cincinnati. And so nobody's saying you're going to get that same level. I will say, though, we're starting to see more and more of young tight ends / receivers come in the league, and immediately, you mentioned Bowers, you mentioned Sam Laporta. This is happening.
And Laporta was available at the end of the first round, as a reminder.
We're seeing it happen more and more, where guys are stepping in the league right away and having an instant impact, the way the position has changed. Nobody's saying Noah Gray is Travis Kelce, but I guess I would feel better about the situation than I did this time last year, if in fact this is it. And more reason to enjoy these final, hopefully, three games, if that's what it really is, final three games of his career, if that ends up in a Super Bowl.
Somebody is pointing out he has a real shot to break some of Jerry Rice's postseason records. And if you can break any postseason receiving record or any receiving record from Jerry Rice, that means a lot more than the 1,000-yard season, which he's three clear of the next closest person anyway at tight end. So, like, he's already well clear of that record anyway, unless somebody's going to come for the title somewhere down the road. That speaks to his longevity and ability to stay on the field. But, I mean, he is kind of close to some of Jerry Rice's records. So if he came up just short of those, does he come back? I don't know, man. He's like the ultimate team guy. He could have extended it to 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons, and he let it go.
He did. That's true. 913-586-7965. This is the dilemma, someone says, from the 913. They think he's more likely to walk if they don't win the Super Bowl. They said if they three-peat, they think he'll be back to try to four-peat. He wants the legacy stuff. Yeah, at what point do you draw the line? I mean, three-peat already is the legacy, though, right? Like, three-peat's never been done. That's why I would say I still think after the three-peat would why you wouldn't go for the fourth if you're Kelce. Because you already would be the only person to do that in NFL history. Only tight end ever to be part of a three-peat.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate. We talked about these other people who've gone on top. That's the ultimate.
They drafted, Jared Wiley, who I understand, unfortunately, got hurt. Who knows what to expect from him. But they've drafted at that position. They gave Noah Gray an extension. They threw some more money Kelce's way before the start of this season, too.
They drafted another first-round wide receiver. They'll go back and get some more weapons. And if you're the Chiefs, you're just going to have to find a $19 million replacement on the free agency market, which could be a player like T. Higgins, although I think he's probably earned $25 million a year or something now. I don't know what someone's going to give T. Higgins four for 100, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
God,
given how he's ended the season, yeah.
Yeah, strong close.
Because health is the question with him, but when he's healthy, he's obviously very good.
I was trying to see what the Jerry Rice records exactly were, because he passed him in receptions, right? Jerry Rice, 2,245 receiving yards in the postseason. It's Kelce at 1,903. What's the latest number on that? I'm trying to think, does he have all of them yet, or is there still one or two?
No, there's still a couple he's chasing. Jerry Rice has 22 receiving touchdowns in the playoffs. I think Travis Kelce has 19. So that's one of them.
I'm trying to see if this is an article, and I'm trying to remember if this is up to date, is all I'm trying to, the yardage wise. Basically, at that point in time, the article, Kelce only needed 343 yards to surpass Jerry Rice's record for postseason receiving.
He's still behind Jerry Rice for that number. He has 1,903. Jerry Rice has 2,245.
Okay, so he has 343 yards. There you go.
And three touchdowns.
So he's 343 yards on the yardage part of it, at least, behind Rice for most postseason yards.
That sounds like a pretty traditional Travis Kelce three-game postseason run.
Postseason,
343 yards and three scores feels like what he pretty much does in a three-game stretch. But I mean, that
someone says you never retire after you win. I mean, Peyton Manning literally did that.
John Elway also
did
that.
Now, I get the argument. Manning was clearly not healthy and playing well. He was carried by his defense. Travis is still playing at a decent level. So,
Michael Jordan unretired, but he did it once too.
Yeah.
It just depends.
MJ was also he was in the middle of his prime when he retired.
Do you buy into any of the, he was a gambling addict and they suspended him for a year, but they let him? I don't.
No. It's fine.
I think he was a gambling addict, sure, but I don't
that's
know
not why he got suspended.
Yeah,
I don't think the NBA suspended him due to gambling. No.
Yeah, I don't.
There's
think
so, I mean, yeah.
He was the great.
So many conspiracies with MJ's career that people have.
Why would they take him out of their own league when he was the single greatest athlete on the face of the planet that had ever lived at the time?
They also give him a at the time a hard time. I just having not played baseball since he was 17 years old, hitting 250 in double A is actually kind of impressive.
Oh, it was. Yes.
I'm just going to say, like, just,
I agree.
That's pretty impressive.
Truly a one of a kind athlete. I mean, just that special of an athlete, period, that to be able to do that.
Someone was asking over in the text line. Yeah, we did see the news, in case you missed it. Jalen Watson is available to return to practice today. He's expected to be on the practice field today. Andy Reid will speak to the media at 1. We won't carry it because he doesn't speak long. But if he has something interesting to say about it, we certainly will let you know about it. But, I mean, it's not, as we mentioned with Briscoe, that's not nothing for this defense. I mean, that was a pretty big miss when he was gone. So if he could come back and give even 50% playing time in the secondary, the upgrade from Connor or Nazee Johnson or Cam Taylor, any of the guys who have like been getting some random time for this team throughout, it's not nothing.
No, up until the last 3 weeks or so, it was the biggest issue we discussed.
Yeah.
Was the secondary and how, you know, Roland Wallace has improved as a player, but he's not Jalen Watson. Jalen Watson was underappreciated the first, what was it, mid-October. So what, first 5 weeks of the season, when he 6 weeks of the season when he was available. And then we saw the absence and how vital he was. I still think we got to be cautious of what do we expect if he comes back. Does he actually come back for the divisional round game? And is he just limited? Is he a full go? I still think the AFC title game is when maybe he could actually be truly Jalen Watson again. But the fact that he's in this range of practice window is really, really special. That nobody thought this was really a possibility. They never officially ruled him out, but nobody really thought it. And it's all worked out, and we know they're at their best when Jalen Watson's out there, and it'd be pretty cool if he's available. And they could have everybody back except for Rashee Rice. I mean, honestly, they could have everybody back but Rashee Rice by the time they get going in the divisional round.
Considering how many injuries they went through, that seems shocking. Like, just getting everyone slowly back? What a treat. Like, if you go back through, that's what stands out about one of the biggest things that I'll remember about this team, no matter how it finishes, is there are like 7 important players on this team that either missed at least, I would say, 2 months, half of the season, or straight up were not on the roster before the season started. DeAndre Hopkins, Humphreys, Humphreys has a chance.
Yeah.
Humphreys, Amenihu, Watson, Pacheco. Like there are 7 or 8, like, almost full-time players for this team who either weren't on this roster September 1st of last year or straight up did not play for more than half of the season for this team. Jalen Watson is just another one included in that. He can upgrade their secondary significantly. We've talked about the weapons in the AFC. I only think it's important that he's like 80, 90% by the Super Bowl. I'll take the like part-time player before then. The Super Bowl is where I think you would feel his need the most. And I'm not saying Rashad Bateman and Zay Flowers are not a capable receiving duo. They are. And obviously Isaiah Likely had a really nice game against Kansas City week 1 of the NFL season. That was the first game of the season. So a million years ago.
When everybody thought he was going to surpass Mark Andrews, that never happened.
No, it didn't. They didn't realize how many receiving yardage totals that the Chiefs were going to give it to tight ends this year. They'd known that, they might have felt different about it. But it's a big get. If he can come back and actually play for this team, it is a big defensive stabilizer, because then Karloftis, Chris Jones, and Amenihu rushing the passer, and Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson guarding, makes you very formidable. More than you are now, and you're the second highest scoring or second lowest scoring defense in the NFL already, depending on how you view high or low. Second in points per game allowed. What's funny?
Text line, you see? I didn't catch it either.
Oh, sorry, Cam Taylor. I did say Cam Taylor Britt. I can't always forget the name of the...
Multiple people are like, Drew, someone said, Drew, tell him. Tell him, Drew.
Why do you say anything, Drew?
Cam Taylor Britt is a Cincinnati man.
Yeah, sorry, not him. The...
Christian Roland Wallace.
Wallace. Yeah, sorry, the three names. The assassin names, right? It's always the...
CRW.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going with now? CRW.
Yeah, CRW. Roland Wallace. I don't care.
Cam Taylor Britt.
I know who the rest of the corners are. That's why I want Jalen Watson back.
We're way down the depth chart on the quarterback room this year.
Dude, for a while they were. Remember when they signed Steven Nelson? Anybody remember that?
They're playing Keith.
Is he still technically on the practice squad?
Keith Taylor. I'm guessing Steven Nelson's going to get called up for Sunday's game, don't you?
Oh, you think he's going to be one of the... They only get 2 elevations. I think they might need those on the line.
You don't think they'll rest some of those? You think they're just going to use it all on the O-line?
Oh, you think someone will just be healthy and active?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm just...
Taylor will be healthy and active.
If Steven Nelson doesn't play Sunday, then, I mean, when's he playing?
Not.
This is the last regular season game of the year.
He was available for...
I just don't think he's playing in the playoffs. If you're telling me Jalen Watson's on the verge of coming back, the first game that Steven Nelson plays this year is going to be in the playoffs? I don't. They're going to have him active then.
No.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if he,
I don't think he's playing
weekend,
for the Chiefs. I think they just picked him up because they weren't sure.
Kay.
Now it turns out Jalen Watson might be back by the divisional round anyway. You don't need Steven Nelson. There was a moment you signed Steven Nelson as a break in case of emergency, right? Yeah. Break glass in case of emergency. We weren't really sure what that was going to look like. Turns out they didn't need Steven Nelson. I don't think he ever plays for this team.
Okay.
He was on the street. They pulled him off the unretired list. That also speaks to probably how bad they need Jalen Watson. The fact that I can't remember Christian Will.
He's gotten better this year. I will say, give him
credit.
Well,
fine. But like, I mean, I hope he plays more next year or whatever. This is like the advantage you have in injury sometimes is that down the road, it actually can be beneficial to you. Like Xavier Worthy, I don't think ever turns into this version of Xavier Worthy unless he was forced into action as a result of all these injuries. Next year's, and you don't want to think this way because you care about winning this year, but next year's wide receiver crew of Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy is now far more dynamic going into the year because of how much Xavier Worthy had
and
to play this year.
And hopefully Hollywood Brown's part of it too, and they bring him back on another incentive-laden contract.
You're probably bringing him back?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You've seen like 10 snaps.
Absolutely. I was excited. Yeah, in fairness, you can attest to this. I was excited when they signed him this past offseason, so yeah.
I know, but now it's a year removed, and
so,
he's coming off a
serious
injury.
He's not 35 years old. Yeah, but as we've witnessed, the injury he had is not a lower body, like, oh my gosh, he's not able to cut anymore. His
knee didn't, like, tear an Achilles or something.
He had a fluky shoulder thing, or sternum, whatever, the sternoclavicular or whatever. I can't even pronounce it. Sure, I can't pronounce it. That thing.
That's a tough one.
That one. And that's not something that's impacting his career, in my opinion.
He's played 2 games, 9 catches, 91 yards, and you're like,
I'm good.
Bring him back.
Absolutely. On another one-year.
On a one-year deal, right?
Well, that's what he's on now. Incentive-laden deal.
How good is the free agent wide receiver market?
Do the likely-to-achieve incentive thing. The guy barely played this year, so most of them probably won't even count against the cap.
No, he's not going to hit any of those.
So for next year even, based on the numbers this year.
That's tough. People always point those things out because you were talking about the like playtime incentives, and we didn't touch a lot on the Pro Bowl yesterday.
Yeah, who cares about the Pro Bowl?
But
people are actually mad about Mahomes. Who cares?
I don't care.
Who cares? Let him use it as motivation, but who cares Mahomes?
But I was surprised. I think it was Jordan Schultz maybe who pointed it out. I was surprised to find out how big of a difference it could make for some players. Because they pointed out Trent McDuffie, who did not make the Pro Bowl, if he had made 2 Pro Bowls in his rookie year, or in his rookie contract in the first 4 years, he actually would make an additional $6 million for his fifth-year option.
That's a huge thing, yeah.
So he's going to make $6 million less on his fifth-year option because voters are stupid. And you're like, man, that hurts. Yeah.
Now, if history
great
goes...
Great for the Chiefs, but that sucks.
But also, if history goes the way it normally does for players like that, the fifth-year option, they'll end up just doing a long-term deal.
Yeah, but that fifth-year option typically ends up being the amount of money you would have made in that, and then they stack on you. It's like Arby's for baseball.
Right, but like he's the type of player where he's going to get top-tier quarterback money no matter what. Like it's not – I don't know if it's going to impact – if he was someone,
it's going to still cost him $6 million, but he's going to make a lot of money so you don't feel as bad.
Yeah.
When do the All-Pros come out?
End of the year, right? Playoff time?
If he makes the All-Pro team and didn't make the Pro Bowl, it doesn't
happens
matter.
Happens all the time.
It should count. If you make an All-Pro is so much more valuable than a Pro Bowl. If you make an All-Pro team, they need to just give him the money.
That's on the NFL Players Association, and that's on the agents. And then the Players Union has not done a good job about getting that calculated differently.
Because the Pro Bowl is voted on by us.
Part of it, right? Not all of it. Isn't that right?
The All-Pro is the league thing, isn't it?
Last year, 2023, right? Is it All-Pro Associated Press? Or am I backwards on that?
It's an AP.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Yes, okay. It's an Associated Press thing. It came out January 12th last year.
Oh, happy birthday.
So. Oh, that's your birthday?
I don't have the drop ready. I didn't have the drop ready. I wasn't expecting
it. If you had it ready, you would have been good
to
go.
Yeah, that's my bad. I didn't expect
it's
you
not
to
like
say
you had
January
a big birthday
12th.
This one. It's just like a...
No, 34.
Just a regular...
Yeah.
What's so bad about that? You went, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's nothing, you know?
It's not that cool.
It's something, but it's not.
Nah, once
September
you get to 30,
first,
you're
Kansas
just...
Kansas will launch sports betting.
That's my birthday!
Yeah.
I can't believe they played that on TV. Why do they choose that clip?
I have no idea.
Because it's funny, that's why they chose it.
Did they
it.
Notice it? I think they did.
They had to
have
noticed it.
So January 12th it is for the fifth-year option and for my birthday, as we've established.
I don't know if that's an all-pros will get released issue. That's when it was last year.
Did you see the latest rumbling that's out there? We know Monday's going to be, as they call, Black Monday in the NFL. A lot of coaches, unfortunately, are going to lose their jobs, and this is reality of the NFL. We already know a couple coaches have been fired. There'll be a few more on Monday. We always get this, 5 to 6 vacancies in the NFL.
Roughly.
And the names are already flown out there. The Jets are reportedly have interviewed Mike Vrabel and Ron Rivera, and for their GM job, Louis Riddick. And the Bears, of course, have an opening. There's thoughts that they're maybe interested in Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, and could Mike Vrabel be a fit there? All these names are out there. The intriguing name, Mike Florio had a write-up on this as well, and so did Front Office Sports. That is, John Gruden could be a hotter name than we think. Now, we all know he was fired a couple years ago. The emails leaked out.
For a pretty just cause.
I don't know why a team would hire him. Not just the email thing, but even if you take the email thing away, which is a big problem because he's, remember, suing the NFL owners right now. So other owners are not going to like you hiring a guy that's suing them. That's the first hurdle. The other one is, if you look at his record, there's guys like Mike Vrabel that have had actually better success here recently than John Gruden has had. Why would I even go through that headache and that hurdle? Right now, John Gruden's doing hilarious content over at a Barstool. It's actually been really good. But he wants to coach again.
I'll admit, I haven't seen much of it.
It's good.
I don't know. It's funny.
He's actually really, really good.
So I haven't seen... I didn't really love his ESPN stuff back in the day, so maybe I just never got around to it. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But that's not beside the point. This makes no sense for NFL teams, and this is why NFL teams are run poorly. Just for starters, sports washing... And I know it's been years now, so nobody's going to remember what he said in those emails.
Yeah.
And like bad enough, I can't read them to you on the air. So I would encourage you to go back up and look at the things he said about marginalized groups and the language in which he said it and just start there. But secondly, you're right. John Gruden is a... Look, it's not like I don't think he's Josh McDaniels. I don't think he's an outright bad head coach. But other than inheriting an already Super Bowl caliber team and then completing the job with a Super Bowl caliber team, he has very little accomplishments to his name. And I'm not saying the Super Bowls don't count, but Brian Billick never got another job and he won a Super Bowl. And he is certainly, I don't know, in his 60s or whatever. I think some of this is because people in the NFL like him. It's a buddy-buddy league, and they like him. And the NFL owners liked him before, and they still like him now. And someone is probably, and I guess more than I realize, are willing to entertain him as bringing him back as an NFL head coach again. I don't know why you'd do it, man. This feels like a, I don't know who would, I don't know.
The report was...
Jets move, I guess.
The report was that he'd be a hot candidate as if everybody who had an opening would interview him almost.
Yeah, in the offseason, NFL Network had a report and said that the Saints tried to hire him as their offensive coordinator, and he turned it down. So just like Brian Flores, just because you're suing the league doesn't mean you can't get coordinator jobs. The question will be, will other owners... basically allow you to hire, and not pressure you not to hire. And that'd be, remember, he's suing the league because the league claims they weren't behind the leak of the emails.
I think Dan Snyder was.
He's suing the league for that.
But I'll say, so this always goes to the same thing. I believe in second chances and all the other stuff. And I've pointed out this to other people who don't think like Michael Vick deserves to be a starting quarterback. Michael Vick went to jail, served his sentence, paid all of his debtors back, and by all accounts has been a pretty much model citizen. Since that moment, he deserves a chance to do this. John Gruden's apology for the stuff he said sucked. And he hasn't apologized since. He said, I'm not racist. Not even a bit. Can't believe this even came up. His apology was terrible. And he's never even brought it up again. So screw that. Some people, you don't deserve second chances just because time passed. Do you feel bad for the things you said or did? Do you think that there's some error in some of the things you said or did? He's never shown any of that for me. So, there's people who show remorse and give a good apology, and it's believable that I'm willing to give second chances to. He didn't land in that category.
It sounds like there's a chance it happened. Remember, he was at training camp with Andy watching the Chiefs training camp. Yeah. I mean, I think you should check out the Barstool John Gruden content that's been out there.
Yeah, you should.
What's it on? Just like football?
Oh, yes.
Sometimes it's just watching live events, but
it's only football.
Yeah, and some of it, the breakdown stuff is good too, but a lot of it's just very humorous.
Gold and I played back a story when you were gone, I think, of he told a story about Andy Reid.
Yeah, yeah.
And
from back in the day?
Yeah, it was a good story.
It was 2.5 minutes. He was basically just saying how they were when they were with Mike Holmgren in Green Bay. And basically, they were young coaches, and they were trying to impress Holmgren, so they would all write, like, draw plays on the board, and Holmgren would, like, pick his, and I guess Andy's plays usually got picked. But basically, he told the story how, like, one game, John Gruden's plays got picked or whatever and got the game ball, and how he, like, was showing. I'm describing it, you got to listen to the whole story. Yeah. But it was good. It was really well. Yeah.
I'll keep an eye out for it.
Text line's not happy with you.
No.
913-586-7965. Coming up next. You enjoy that text line right now, Cody.
Look, I stand by the comment I said there. We'll say a bunch of like racist, homophobic stuff.
We'll get to what's trending. We'll talk a little bit more about the actual target share we could see coming through for the playoffs of the pass catchers. That's next.